This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17. Right now, the number one PC game on Metacritic as far as rating. Not the number one sports game, the number one game, period. As of May 1st, a Metacritic rating of 93 on the PC. And that's because, well, let's face it, Out of the Park 17 is the best baseball strategy game ever made. It lets you run every aspect of your club from either the front office and or in the dugout. It's fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, which means you've got all the authentic 2016 opening day rosters, plus all the real minor league guys. Plus, you've got every season ever from 1871 through 2015 with the Major League and the minor league teams. It's amazing. You can build your own custom baseball worlds. You can play solo. You can play in online leagues. There's so much that you can do with Out of the Park Baseball 17. You can get it today for $39.99 on the Mac, on the PC, on Linux. You can get it through Steam, or you can get it directly from ootpdevelopments.com. And if you use the code PRESS17, P-R-E-S-S-1-7, you will get an additional 10% off. So that is Out of the Park Baseball 17.
All right, so our recent episodes of the Press Row Podcast presented by Hit the Pass have been pretty heavy on MLB The Show 16, and I think it's justifiably that way given the time of the year, the general quality of that game, and the compelling nature for many of us of the Diamond Dynasty mode, and even some of the noteworthy issues the game had. It all necessitated a lot of discussion. But now we can hit on some other topics which have been circulating recently. And I've got two of my favorite guests back to talk about all of them. I'm your host, Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre, and with me are Rich Grisham, formerly host of this very podcast and now of Out of the Park Developments, and Kat Bailey from US Gamer. So let's bring them in. Let's catch up on how you two have been doing. Rich, what have you been up to lately? What have you been playing? What have you been working on? Tell me about your life.
Doing a whole bunch of stuff, man. Traveling the country, which is always fun. Going to San Francisco, where I got to hang out with Kat Bailey, which was awesome, and several other friends of the community. I was in Kansas City for a few days, sampling the local blues and barbecue, which was spectacular. And you know, in between, trying my best to play some good games, which I've been successful at. On the non-sports front, I've played and completed Life is Strange. I don't know if either of you played that.
I have not. I'm not very familiar with that one.
Yeah, that was a very interesting, crazy, bizarre experience that I thoroughly enjoyed. Even if I don't want to say like it was amazing or it was plausible in any way, but yet it was still, I found it to be a lot of fun. I'm kind of a sucker for those kind of games. Mm-hmm. You know, the sort of non-traditional, heavy story-based kinds of things like that. So anyway, that's a lot of fun. On the sports front, I know, Brian, last time we talked, I probably couldn't stop talking about Pro Evolution 2016.
Yeah, you bring it up when we're not even discussing the game, the game specifically. You just want to raise it.
My love of that game has continued. I am almost complete with my second full season. My completely remade Everton squad. When I say completely remade, I mean completely. I sold off almost everybody and signed a whole bunch of different people. We just won the Premier League a couple nights ago. Unfortunately, I crashed out of the Champions League, but I did still continue on in the Europa League, which was weird. I don't even know exactly how that works. I'm a pretty big international football fan, but I'm not quite sure how, when I got booted from the Champions League, I wound up in the Europa League when I didn't start off in the Europa League. But anyway, I'm trying to win that too.
Mm-hmm. And that's weird. I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think so either. But yet I still have a chance for two trophies this year. And my team is very top heavy, so I have like 7 or 8 amazing players, and then a whole bunch of 17 and 18 year olds on my youth squad. So it's a challenge to juggle the lineup.
That's the best thing about soccer video games, is that when you're playing them, like, you're not just shooting for, say, winning the World Series or something. You can be like, man, I'm going to win like 3 or 4 trophies this year. I can win like these tournaments. I can go win the Champions League, and I can win the Premier League. And it can be really tense when you get to the end games, those, because winning all four is actually really hard.
I this was the first time I've won any. Like, just winning the Premier League a couple nights ago in Pro Evolution for me is definitely unprecedented. I've never done it. I have just, this game, this year's game has just become my comfort food, like the game that I just know. Going through and remaking the team and experiencing that the entire way, playing every game, has been really rewarding for whatever reason. And it's not perfect. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Pro Evolution is the perfect game. But for me, I just love how it plays and looks and feels. And it has struck a chord with me like few games have. Although, you know, you would find me saying pretty much the same thing about last year's The Show, which I've also been playing this year's version, that is. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when you go a couple, two or three weeks away from that game, and then you come back, it's hard. It's hard to hit, especially.
Yeah.
I love The Show. I have for years. This year's game I've played the least of, simply because of the logistics of it. Mm-hmm. Love it. But even tonight, I got home tonight and had a little bit of time, hopped on the treadmill, played three games, and just hit terribly and struggled and actually wound up losing three games. So, but I love it. It's amazing. I haven't been able to play as much of it, but I still do play it regularly. So that's been my story.
Yeah, and I agree with you about the baseball thing. I think it's so much about rhythm that when you do walk away, it's hard to get back into that and hit well. You can come back and pitch well, but the hitting is far more difficult. As opposed to most other sports games, I can walk away from Madden for months, come back, and pretty much know what I'm doing on a play-to-play basis. But baseball's a little tougher. Kat, welcome back to the show. How are you been? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on your baseball comment. Yeah. You know, it's actually kind of the opposite for me.
Really?
I find that I'll be playing a lot of The Show, and I don't know if it's like a mental thing or something, but I'll just start tightening up at the plate or whatever and just not doing as well as I might expect. And that's usually when it's best for me to step away for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then clear my mind and like not think about it as much, and then kind of come back with a fresh slate, and then I do much better.
I wonder if that's because you get frustrated, or at least that's the case for me. If I play a really tough game of The Show and I just can't get a hit and I'm striking out, and then you start to press a little bit and you start to guess at the plate and you start to swing at things you normally wouldn't have. At least that's the case for me. And then maybe I walk away. I just can't walk away for an extended period, or else I'll have trouble when I come back.
Yeah, that's pretty much me. But so let's see, in terms of sports games, the last time I've been playing The Show on and off, but not much. The last time I picked it up actually was last week. I decided just at random to get in touch with Rich and ask if he wanted to play a home and home of MLB The Show, which we did. And we played. So the first game was the Mets versus the Minnesota Twins, which I figured, well, this, like, Rich is going to destroy me. This is a total mismatch. And I ended up winning 2-0, which surprised me.
That was a heck of a game.
It was a great game. I forget who it was. Oh, Phil Hughes pitched his heart out. It was pretty amazing, actually.
Well, so did Noah Syndergaard. I don't remember how many strikeouts he had, but he had an amazing game. Oh,
he probably had like a dozen. And Rich is just really good at he doesn't care. Like, he just like powers it right down the middle of the plate. And you're like, oh, well, that just means you're a bad hitter, Kat. Here's the thing. You want to be patient.
Oh.
But Rich is like, no, bam. Like, he's like blistering it down to plate like 98 miles per hour. And you're like, all right, screw you. I'm going to take a shot at that. And then he'll paint the corner. And you're like, whoa, are you serious? Or like, he'll get it just above your bat where like you're kind of like aiming for, because it's like, He's kind of going low, and just at the right when you're like going, all right, I'm totally going to get him. I got to beat him. And this time he goes just high enough that your bat goes right through it. And you're like, damn it.
Well, to be fair, it was Noah Syndergaard in a lot of those. He's pretty good.
Well, this was the second game when I was playing as the Giants and you were playing as the Blue Jays.
Yes.
Which was a totally different thing. And I collected a lot of hits and a few runs, to be fair. But you were really, you just knocked Johnny Cueto all over the place. It was kind of ugly early.
He had no control, and that was a bad start.
No, it was terrible. It really stunk. Like, I couldn't paint the corners. Like, I couldn't keep it in the strike zone to save my life. So the only option I really had was to kind of start going to the fastball. But, of course, Rich was all over that with the Toronto stacked lineup. So he ended up, it was actually a closer game than I thought it was going to be. But, he got me in the end with that one. It's weird that I did better with the Twins than the Giants, but maybe familiarity breeds success.
Yeah.
When I'm not playing MLB The Show, I'm playing Dark Souls 3. Like, that's pretty much my jam right now. I'm in the catacombs of something, and I got my spy hander, which is like a sword that's like bigger than I am. It's just so gigantic and awesome, and I'm super happy to have it. It's just a really fun, surprisingly, it feels more polished than the original Dark Souls. I'm not saying that it's perfect, but they've obviously learned a lot in the time between Dark Souls and Dark Souls 3. From Dark Souls 2 to Bloodborne to the current game. And it really shows in the level design and the way the characters are and even some of the refinements to the combat. Not everybody likes the combat refinements, but I like the kind of more action-packed, rolling around mix as opposed to having it kind of balanced all the way toward super heavy armor and shields all the time and poking from behind your fortress. So, yeah, Dark Souls 3 has been just my thing. And of course, Uncharted 4 is coming out soon. So,
yeah, that's going to be exciting.
I think I might have to get that.
Uncharted 4?
Yeah.
You might like it.
I played the first two Uncharteds. I did not ever get around to playing the third. After finishing Life is Strange, I wanted to start something else, non-sports related, single player, something or other. And there was a big flash sale, and I picked up Dishonored. It was like the ultimate edition.
Oh, yeah.
I remember people really enjoying that game. Yeah, I don't think I like that game. I've only played an hour or so, but I'm thinking I made a mistake with that. But Uncharted comes out soon, right? So I might have to
May 10th.
Call an audible.
Yeah.
Oh, May 10th? That's
something
a little,
like that. Yeah, I haven't had time to even start it, but I picked up Ratchet and Clank, Rich, which I
love that
suspect.
Series, and that's one I should also get. The fact I don't have it's crazy, but there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say I suspect you would like that one. So let's go on to our first topic, but this will be a little quicker than the others because it's not necessarily as game related as those are. But first round in the NFL draft, as we recorded this, is in the books. Like to get some reactions, and I'm going to start with you, Kat, because you will actually have opinions. Go ahead, Kat.
Mega Kwan, yeah, Laquan Treadwell. I'm told that he's the next Eric Mold / Michael Irvin / Dez Bryant / Calvin Johnson. Which, so I think we got four receivers in one. Like Teddy Bridgewater is throwing to like a Hall of Fame receiving core now. He has no excuses. But in all seriousness, Laquan Treadwell was pretty much the guy that I wanted. So in our Madden League, I went out of my way to go get Alshon Jeffrey in free agency because I wanted just this big guy. Yeah. Like, I didn't care as much about separation.
Aggressive catching, right?
Yeah, well, aggressive catching, but also, like, possessive, just being able to get these possession catches going on. I feel like Teddy just needs that big body safety blanket, the guy who can get separation on a slant and who can beat that press coverage. And the Vikings haven't really had that guy until this point. Like last year they had Stephon Diggs, who was a rookie. They had Mike Wallace, who runs in a straight line. They had Jarius Wright, who is okay, I guess, but he's like a fourth receiver type guy. Like the receivers weren't great, and the Vikings seemed to kind of struggle like to find a way to get them working in a way, combined with the fact that the play, like North Turner was having Teddy do these like 12-step drops that the offensive line couldn't handle. It was kind of a shit show, but I feel like when it comes to moving the chains, like Treadwell's just the type of guy that the Vikings needed. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of Vikings fans were super pumped to get Doxson, Josh Doxson, who was the other receiver who went right above the Vikings to the Redskins. Thank you, Washington. that really kind of stunk. But I prefer to look at the glass as being half full in saying that we could have gotten Will Fuller or Corey Coleman, who are the first two receivers off the board, none of whom I wanted, because Corey Coleman, he's just not that good. He's not a first-round talent. Will Fuller, people are comparing to Ted Ginn. So I don't want Ted Ginn. I don't want a Mike Wallace, like a crappier Mike Wallace. So.
Yeah, because he has some drops issues in college.
Yeah, no, drops are a huge thing. And Vikings fans are still pretty traumatized by having, God, what was his name? Troy Williamson, who we drafted 10 years ago.
Yeah.
10 South years Carolina. Ago? No, 2005. Yeah, God, that guy was, he had speed. That was literally all he had. There's this amazing and incredibly damning highlight where he gets free and he's literally all alone and they put it on a dime and he just drops it. So it's like the ball just goes boing, 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 falls out of his hands. And you're like, it was like a Madden catch, right?
Yeah.
You know, like a million times where the cornerback will have it put right in between their numbers and they'll just drop it.
Yep.
That's what Troy Williamson did. Yeah. So definitely didn't want that. Was definitely surprised that Miles Jack, who's a linebacker, didn't go in the first. I figured that an opportunistic team like the Packers or the Seahawks would go and grab him. But I guess like teams just weren't even going near him, given like all the talk about him having knee problems, which is really too bad because Miles Jack's, by all accounts, like has the skills. Like he sounds amazing.
I was excited about the possibility of Jack because of his talent, obviously, and the opportunity to get him at the bottom of the first round, and that he's actually a local guy. He went to Bellevue High School here in Washington, so that was intriguing to me. But apparently, he's got medical issues with his knee that have scared off everybody. And at some point, somebody will take him because the potential, the risk is, you know, going to be worth the potential reward. But yeah, it's sad to see that happening, and but I'm pleased with what the Seahawks did. They got their right tackle and they traded down and got the guy they were going to take at 26 anyway, and they got a third round pick out of moving down five picks, so I'm pleased with that. But Miles Jack would have been more exciting, but I think anytime you take an offensive lineman, you're not exactly rah-rah about it. But it's a good pick, and they definitely needed to address it. Now, Rich, you hate the draft. What is your problem?
Okay, let's be clear. I don't hate the draft. The draft is clearly a vitally important part of any NFL team building or rebuilding or, you know, just creating the team that they want to be on the field for the next few years. What I don't understand is how it's interesting to anybody to watch, because it's the equivalent of watching a bunch of people open their mail. Nothing actually happens. You have no idea whether anything that happens is going to wind up being great, good, okay, or terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing that the NFL can get people so excited about it. And I love football, right? Start playing a game on Sunday and I'm there. But I just don't understand why everybody finds it so interesting. But that's fine. Clearly, I'm in the deep minority on this. So, I mean, I'm not mocking. Me personally, I don't get it.
For a lot of people, it's about hope. Because, I mean, what does a Cleveland Browns fan really have to look forward to on a yearly basis, Rich? It's the hope of something getting better, and you never know. Yeah, they reacted like nutsos to drafting Johnny Manziel, and now how stupid does that look? But I mean, can you blame them?
Yeah, well, a lot of teams would have been like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, people have, a lot of fan bases have nothing else to cheer, really, going into a season. And so it's the hope of turning things around. This is where things are going to change for us. And Rich, you've traded up and now you've got your quarterback. You don't know, maybe he's going to be a bust, but you've got the potential of somebody there that they believe in. And also it's the movement is fun. All the trading is fun to follow. And then you end up with, as a Seahawks fan, you look back and you're like, man, that draft third round, Russell Wilson, you know, that was the moment that things changed. And we were excited at the time. We didn't know he was going to be that guy.
Well, that's
still,
yeah. Well,
I was going to say that's the moment when your team gets that kind of steal, like that kind of like incredible value at a particular round, like Russell Wilson in the third round, like how many, like all 31 other teams would just kill themselves to get the franchise quarterback. That's just incredible. And when you can do that, that's like franchise changing. And that's like, that's exciting.
Well,
right?
And then you look back and you can look at who made the biggest mistakes and you say, wow, the Jaguars 5 picks before Russell Wilson took a punter. So yes, you can see where franchises turn one way or the other.
Wow, the Vikings maybe shouldn't have traded all those draft picks for Herschel Walker.
That's exactly my point. You never know when it's happening, whether anything interesting has happened. You only know it's interesting when you watch
that,
it
Rich.
3 years later. Watch a draft 3 years later. It is infinitely more entertaining and meaningful than watching it live because you have no idea what's going to happen.
This is true, but we're also following, for a lot of people, you're following guys who you knew from college. You watch play in college, so you're expecting them to translate, right? But it's about, but again, it's about hope, Rich, and you're a Philadelphia guy, so you probably don't have much of that. So I would think, you know, like actually the trade up of Wentz for Wentz there for the Eagles is kind of a questionable one, but you never know. If he turns out, then there you go. You look back on this and you'll be like, man, I should have been more excited back then in 2016.
Well, again, why would I be excited about the NFL in what month is it? April. Nothing has happened. I'm excited about the NFL in September when they're actually playing games. You know, Brian, we've talked about this before. I'm a games guy. When the game is on, it's awesome. When it's anything but the game being played, to me, it doesn't matter. And again, I know I'm in the minority, but I'm like tonight, it was all about the Stanley Cup playoffs and baseball and basketball because those are actual great things happening. The draft is just, like I said, people are opening mail. It's good for some, but not for me.
Well, I disagree with you, Rich. And for everyone out there listening, check out Hit the Pass. There will be a first round draft grades for Madden 17 for how these players are going to fit, for who's going to have the most impact, who's going to have the least impact. And I can tell you right now, there are, I don't know, 5 or 6 teams I gave an A to, or maybe a few more than that, and there's one D. And it's probably not the team or player that you would think got the D, but in terms of Madden, it was the worst pick of the first round. So check out Hit the Pass for the draft grades for Madden 17.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Brian, but you can play with those guys now too, right? Like that's cool.
Yeah, an ultimate team.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, still, that's the only way that you probably would be able to, right? Well, I guess they could assign.
I think it's NFLPA thing that they probably can't put them because everything in the regular part of Madden is based on last season. They don't bring in, they don't move like, at free agency. They don't move guys because that's the new league year. Now they can bring in the rookies and put them into ultimate team because that doesn't have anything to do with the league year. So yeah, first round rookies can be found in Madden Ultimate Team, Madden 16 Ultimate Team already, and they have, I don't know how many of them have it, but there's a base rookie card and then there's a like an elite future card as if they're an elite player in the future. So the base rookie is like going to be your low 80s typical rookie ratings, and which is for a lot of people useless in Madden Ultimate Team at this point. So that's why they have these elite ones also, where you have a Carson Wentz and a Jared Goff who are rated 95. So yeah, you have the
which one of the Eagles draft?
Oh, geez, Wentz. Rich.
Thank you.
See, yeah, okay. So that proves it right there, Rich.
I knew they got a quarterback, and he was from North Dakota State. I just forgot.
Yes, hey, North Dakota State, they're a dynasty, man. They're a dynasty in their particular class of college. They have a ferocious rivalry with Bismarck.
Oh.
Fargo and Bismarck, you still want to mess with those two cities. It's white hot.
Elite level competition, Rich.
I think I'm being trolled right now.
In all seriousness, Carson Wentz, I would rather have him than Jared Goff. So there's
Yeah, potential is higher with him. Goff, you know, being a Pac-12 guy here on the West Coast, and Kat, I don't know, maybe you watch a lot of like Pac-12 football, but
I like Stanford.
Yeah, so. But Goff never impressed me. Now, he wasn't on a great team, but I never saw, there's a number one type guy. I never saw that out of Goff. Of course, you know, I saw a lot of him against the Huskies. Huskies had a pretty good defense, but he just never jumped off the screen to me. So I'm fine with the Rams taking him. I'm not real concerned about that as an NFC West guy. So we'll see how that goes.
Hey, everybody, I want to take just a minute here and talk about Harry's. I'm not sure, you know, what your shaving experience is, but the guys at Harry's have got this whole thing figured out. I don't know when shaving got so expensive, but I mean, you know what it's like. You go to the store trying to buy razors and shaving cream, and oh my gosh, if you ran out, or if you're like me, you're on the road all the time and you leave your razor behind, next thing you know, it's a disaster. You got a meeting, you can't go in that meeting scruffy. You run to the store, you got to wait for the store clerk to open the case and get the razor. It takes forever. Or you just got to pay a lot of money. You know, it's just, shaving has gotten to be a giant pain. But Harry's has got this whole thing completely figured out. Think about what you would do with all the money that you're saving if you switch to Harry's. Harry's has high quality German blades for half the price of big name drugstore brands. You know, you do this for like a month, maybe two. You can take your lady to a nice dinner. You can make a big spend in your fantasy sports league. There's no telling what you can do. Heck, you can buy yourself a nice brand new PlayStation 4 Xbox One game. So, you know, the bottom line is, though, it's not just about the price. The actual blades are fantastic. You know, the first time I used Harry's, I was really happy with the gel that they had. That's, you know, you can get either the cream or the gel. I kind of like the gel. The blades are really good, really nice shave. I turned on a few of my family members on it too, and they liked it too. So now they are Harry's customers as well. So, you know, let's just put it to you this way. If you haven't tried Harry's, now is the perfect time. You can get Harry's starter kit for just $15. That includes the razor, three blades, and your choice of Harry's shave cream or the shave gel. Like I said, I like the shave gel, but the cream is good too. And then as an added bonus, you can get $5 off your first purchase with the code PRESSROW. So after you use that code, you can get an entire month's worth of shaving for just $10. Harry's.com was started by two guys who are passionate about creating a better shaving experience for all men. Harry's.com delivers a superior shave for an incredible price. They even bought a razor factory in Germany that's been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades now for almost a century, and they've cut out the middleman. So that's why they can give you that great shave at a great price, a fraction of the price of drugstore brands, and shipping is always free. You know how annoying online shopping is when you have to pay more for shipping than you even do for the item in the first place. So like I said, these guys at Harry's have it figured out. So go to Harry's.com now. And Harry's will give you $5 off if you type in the code PRESSROW, that's PRESSROW, with your first purchase. So that's HARRYS.com, Harry's.com, and enter the coupon code PRESSROW, PRESSROW, at checkout for $5 off the starter set and start shaving smarter today.
So let's move to the NHL, because this is, I think, the most interesting news recently, because we're in April. And NHL is, we're in the Stanley Cup playoffs for this season. Not, you know, we're still several months away from next season, and the game NHL 17 coming out in September. But we have a fair amount of news on NHL 17 already that came from a trailer that also accompanied a cover athlete voting process that they're doing. Kat, go ahead and recap what we got going with NHL 17 here.
All right, NHL 17, we can move our teams, which, I mean, we could do that in Madden several years ago and NBA 2K last year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's cool. We can move our team in franchise mode, so that's good. So that means that we can take over a team like, okay, I almost feel bad about saying this because Florida Panthers have actually been a really fun team this year, even though they got knocked out in the first round. But maybe move the Florida Panthers somewhere like Seattle.
Yeah, there were rumors of that years ago that it was going to happen. I don't know if that completely fell through
or move Arizona to Quebec.
Yeah.
Or the one that everybody has been waiting for.
Vegas.
Vegas, baby. Yeah. It's time. But in all seriousness,
in the desert, such a brilliant idea. Yes.
In all seriousness, no. Oh, and also having a second team in Toronto. Mm. Only in NHL, by the way, could you have like so many Canadian markets opening up. I would really like to have an NHL team in like London, by the way, or Mexico. just sort of like in the Madden sense.
Yeah.
Or putting one in like, what was it, in Ireland the Dublin Celtic Tigers. Yeah. It would make no sense, but who cares? It's fantasy.
Exactly.
But in all seriousness, it makes sense because the NHL is getting ready to have an expansion. And it looks like, well, right now it looks like Las Vegas is the only one that's going to be getting a team. Yeah. Because Quebec City, I guess, for various reasons, don't have their act together. And I don't know.
Seattle,
I don't know.
Our arena is based on getting the NBA team first. So we're behind on the NHL also.
I mean, Seattle like is such an obvious destination for an NHL team, especially because like the Pacific Northwest, outside of the Canucks, you know, they're kind of bereft, right?
It would be huge here. They actually have a pretty big hockey following in Washington State, and then there would be a great rivalry with Vancouver, absolutely, and probably San Jose also.
Oh, for sure, and the Kings, and mm-hmm. you would assume, and the Ducks, and you would assume that Portland would kind of get on the hockey train too.
Yeah, it seems like a natural fit.
Yeah, Pacific Northwest and all that, but in any case, so that's one of the new features. You'll be able to move them to. Oh yeah, you can get the Hartford Whalers back.
Yeah,
hooray! Like everybody wants the Hartford Whalers back, even though nobody gave a crap about that team back in the day. But they did have a sweet logo.
Yeah.
And a great song, Brass Bonanza, whenever they scored a goal.
We're gonna have a World Cup of Hockey tournament set up. So you're going to be able to play with international teams now, which you could not do in NHL 16. You could do that on the previous generation of consoles. So, and in fact, during the Olympics, they didn't have an official Olympics mode, but you could set up a tournament and do it kind of like the Olympics. But I'm just happy to be able to be playing with, say, the with Team USA versus Canada, because it's a lot of fun to have guys like TJ Oshie and Patrick Kane and Zach Parise all on one team.
Can you explain to me the setup for the World Cup of Hockey? Because I was going through it, and I knew very little about it. But what confused me at first was that you had a USA and a Canada team, and you had all these teams in Europe, but then you also have a North America and a Europe team. So and is my understanding that those are like younger players? Is that what it is? Or is
that
something else?
That's the North American team, is the under-23s, I think it's under-23s, Canadians and Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And the European is sort of a conglomeration of the various best players from the nations that don't have their own team going. So, you know, because, and I'm a big fan of international hockey tournaments. The Olympic hockey tournaments are fantastic. The World Cup of Hockey back in, I think it was 96, was a lot of fun. I think this is a terrific thing that they're including in the game. My only concern, not concern, I guess it's why they felt like they had to announce it now. My concern is that the World Cup, it's not for the game, the NHL game from EA, but the World Cup itself, it takes place in September before the season starts, and September is big-time baseball and big-time NFL. I'm just, it's kind of going to get lost, and I think...
I mean, it's hockey. It's always going to get lost outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I say this as somebody who loves hockey.
Yeah, me too, and I love international hockey. I kind of wish they would have done this the way that they did the Olympic break, in that instead of an all-star game, they played the World Cup in late January, early February, over the course of like 2 weeks. I think that would have been immensely more exciting in both aspects, in NHL 17 as well as in the real tournament.
That's my thing. The Olympics are such a mess, though. Just like that giant break. But
it doesn't have to be, because you could have everybody stay in North America. The whole thing's going to be in Toronto, right? They could have done the whole thing in 10 days. I don't know. I personally love the Olympics and the NHL players in the Olympics. I think it's made incredibly compelling hockey. So that would have been, like I said, that's my concern more about the World Cup. I think it's great that it's going to be in the game. I don't know how many people will use it or be excited about it, but it makes a lot of sense. And I love international hockey, so it's the kind of thing where you can get a lot out of that the whole season long.
It almost feels to me a little bit like the Women's World Cup in FIFA, just in the sense that FIFA came out and the Women's World Cup had already been finished, right? Now NHL is going to come out right around the same time this takes place.
Correct.
But then once it's over with, is that still going to be something compelling for people to play, or is it just only going to be interesting in September, I wonder?
I think it's going to be like the World Baseball Classic, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Which, if we're being honest, doesn't really get a lot of headlines.
Well, no, it was in an MLB 2K game a while back, but then after that we haven't seen it since.
Yeah, because people don't really care about the World Baseball Classic. And I will be actually kind of surprised if the World Cup of Hockey ends up getting a lot of traction. I mean, it might get picked up by social media.
It will be in Toronto, because if the whole thing's in Toronto and it's such a hockey hotbed, it'll be a big deal in NHL circles. It's not spread out across North America or in Europe. So I think it'll be, but it'll still get lost, like I said, because it'll be in September when the baseball pennant races are happening, the NFL and college football are in motion, and people will not be in a hockey state of mind.
But more to the point, it's in NHL 17, which yes. I like, because I kind of missed being able to play as international teams, because it's just a fun change of pace.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So sometimes you're like, yeah, I don't really want to play as insert NHL club here anymore. I just want to do something else.
Ultimate team?
Ultimate team's okay, option. I guess.
Yeah.
You can play EA Sports Hockey League.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's that too.
But if you want to just play straight team mode against a friend, I think being able to play an international team, the more options the merrier. And you know, in all honesty, if I'm a Hartford Whalers fan, I am just so pumped for this next year's version. Because being able to move the stupid Carolina Hurricanes, no offense to any Hurricanes listeners listening to this, back to Hartford would be awesome.
Let me ask this. So NHL no longer has online franchise or online be a GM, as it's called. So
no.
how much, and it has from their comments, it's not coming back.
No.
At least this year. So how much does stuff like franchise relocation, create an arena, create uniforms, how much does that actually end up mattering to you?
To me? Not that much. What it'll come down to is, barring like a really compelling upgrade to franchise mode, I think like franchise mode in NHL right now, and I think this goes for Madden as well, and FIFA sort of is, they don't have a great sense of continuity. So like, I enjoy playing the game and I might not necessarily mind like grinding my way through a season, but I don't really feel like carrot at the end of the stick. When I'm playing online, the carrot at the stick is beating my friends. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, I beat my friends. Sweet. Like, I can remember all of the Super Bowls that I won in the Madden League. That's like super, you know, that's super exciting. Like, I beat all of these people. That's like a big accomplishment. Beating the computer is not that big of an accomplishment. And when I say the carrot at the stick, I mean like stuff to unlock, like whether it's like old arenas or old jerseys or even just a freaking trophy case that I can fill up, right? Mm-hmm. But NHL doesn't have that. So it feels pretty sterile, pretty lacking in narrative. Now, I'll say like last year, the player morale, the introduction of player morale and player conversations, that was pretty good. But it's kind of missing something. So if I get really into NHL in the coming year, it'll be in the EA Sports Hockey League and probably not much else. But we'll see.
What do you think, Rich?
Well, I really used to love the NHL games. And for the last couple of years, they've really disappeared from my radar. As you guys know, last year my treadmill game was MLB The Show. Once I completed a 162-game season and the playoffs, I then moved to NBA 2K16 on the treadmill and played two full seasons of my player and won the MVP in the finals in my second year. After that, I was like, okay, now I'm going to do some NHL. And I tried, and after about 8 or 9 games, it wasn't doing it for me. It feels, and this is no knock on the development team, right? It's just when you have such a small space to operate and the players, I can't tell who's who or what's what. Everybody feels exactly the same. The teams and the game to me, again, just doesn't have personality. It's more of an issue of the sport than the guys who are making it. Whereas when I play Pro Evo or NBA 2K16, Pro Evo, you have a much larger spaces to move around. Once you get to know your players, you know, certain players are clearly much better, you know, much faster or much stronger than other players. There's different personalities that emanate from the teams. NBA 2K16, obviously, the players, even though it's still a small space, you know, different players have different skills and stuff. So NHL is in a weird spot for me.
I think that you can definitely, I think that in previous games, you could feel the size and strength of a player a lot more. Like, you could feel like the small kind of like shifty guy who would get in and score goals versus, you know, a bruiser, right? Because just the bruiser would be knocking people all over the ice and they would be the ones who could like settle in front of the net and like get those redirects. And the most recent versions of NHL haven't had that. Like one of the more infamous ones was that the big guys, they don't have the jostling in front of the net. They haven't had it for the first two versions of this generation, which has been pretty disappointing. And I think that goes a long way toward kind of explaining that feeling that players, they feel a little more samey than they should. I mean, you can feel a little bit of a difference in, like, say, the skill difference between, say, Zach Parise and, like, I don't know, Nate Prosser or something. Like, one feels like a brick.
Not me.
And one feels like, and one just feels like I can score anytime I want. But, but yeah, it's certainly different than, say, playing FIFA. Or whatever, where like you can instantaneously tell the difference between a Cristiano Ronaldo and whatever.
Absolutely. When I play my second team, Everton Club, it's completely different experience than when I play my first team club in Pro Evo. I mean,
yeah, it's not as fun.
So different. Not as fun. Not at all. But I mean, when I play my third line or my first line, I have no idea. It makes no difference, right? And I know people that are really into NHL. I probably disagree strongly with me, right? I'm not saying I've spent hundreds of hours. I played for a couple of weeks, played a bunch of games, and unless, like you said, Kat, if I'm playing you online, I'm having a great time. It's a great game, but I can't just the game itself just doesn't speak to me to go through a single player mode in any way. So I don't think. Well, again, I think they're great to have the World Cup, and it's great to have franchise relocation. The game is going to have to get back in my rotation, and it speaks to the excellence of the other games. So back in my rotation, I mean, that's not going to do it for me. And I understand that there's no need to invest in a mode that they don't think they're going to get a return on. I totally get that. And frankly, I applaud them for saying it. You know, like, look, not enough people played it. We're not going to spend the amount of time and money it takes to bring back an online GM or something. It would be great if they could have simple online tournaments, right? The ability to just, hey, let's have six or eight of us hop in a, you know, and we'll play a couple of rounds of a best of seven or a single elimination. Like even that would it would automatically become a game that is day one, gonna get it, play my friends. But that's sort of my.
It's weird that they don't have that.
Well, again, I think it takes time and
yeah,
and
I know you have to create it.
Got to store all the data and you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I think it's cool. Obviously I'm a longtime NHL fan, but right now it's just at a place where it doesn't do anything for me personally.
I just don't understand like there are a lot of things that NHL's franchise mode does better than say MLB The Show. Like, for example, I already talked about the player morale and the ability to have conversations with the players. I think that's cool. And it does a lot of the same thing. It has a Twitter feed. It does a lot of the same things as MLB The Show in terms of sending your players up and down. And MLB The Show's franchise mode in many respects feels pretty sterile, but I don't know. I just can't put my finger on why I am more drawn to MLB The Show's franchise mode than I am NHL's. Load time or the game? One game is better than the other.
I think the game's it's bigger, it's brighter, it's more beautiful. It's got a lot more personality. The pitcher hitter battle in MLB The Show is awesome, and every at bat is good. When you do smart things, you have success. When you do dumb things, you don't. It's just a completely different experience than NHL, which is up and down, up and down, up and down. Slide right, shoot, miss, slide left.
So you're saying it's the gameplay?
100%.
I think the gameplay in NHL still is pretty good. I mean, it's fun to play in the moment.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just for me, there's no comparison.
Maybe it's too samey? But why is FIFA more compelling than NHL? Because FIFA is up and down and scoring goals.
Well, I think Pro Evo.
Pro Evo.
Oh, to me, I've gotten to know my team. I know how to what kind of passes to make with what players. You know, when to through pass, when to hold back, when to you know how to take the right corner kicks, how to line my guys up. There's all sorts of moments in Pro Evo, and I'm sure they're this way in FIFA. I'm just not playing FIFA right now. Pro Evo was like, I'm sure there's a lot more moments in, and there's a lot more room. You have a lot more control over what's happening. Where in NHL, it's a lot more skate down, shoot, you know, react. And again, it's a function of the sport. It's just where I am in my where I am right now. I'm just enjoying different experiences and what I can get out of. Of NHL. All
right. I played an incredible game the other day, though. All right, I was down 6-2 at the beginning of the third, came all the way back, evened it at 6 with 10 seconds remaining, and then went in overtime. Now, that was a good game. So, you can have fun, exciting games in NHL.
Well, we're still in April, and I think a lot of this stuff, the franchise relocation, World Cup of Hockey, and it was basically a tease. It's not like they rolled out a giant news release on these things. So there's going to be a ton more to learn, especially as we approach E3. So a lot of NHL stuff to come. So we'll have to revisit that and see if any opinions change based on the new information we get as things develop over the summer. I wanted to go to another topic, which was interesting to me because we got the survey from EA went out to people who owned UFC 2, and it was asking for opinions on potential features for UFC 3. And there's some interesting stuff in there as far as new features and everything, but even like a ultimate draft champion, just like the draft champion modes in Madden and FIFA now, and the show, and you know, every game's basically going to have them, but here you'd be drafting things for your fighter, like moves for your fighter, abilities for your fighter. Really kind of weird, but the way it fits into their ultimate team model. But the one that really stood out to me was and I'm, especially since Kat, you've tried virtual reality some of the headsets, so a virtual reality mode in UFC 3 is something they're considering for PS4 and Xbox One, although Xbox One doesn't have a virtual reality headset yet, but maybe it will in 2 years. I don't know. But what interests me the most about this probably is that they're presenting it as a separate mode, and they're calling it a reality or virtual reality training games where you would train in the basics of striking, footwork, endurance, and more. And that's probably the best way for them to go as far as implementing virtual reality in sports games, instead of making it a part of the main product, doing something unique with it just on the side. So, Kat, I'm curious how you think virtual reality is going to end up translating to sports games, and whether something like this, these training games for UFC, may make sense for it in the future.
I don't really see it. It's really hard to imagine, and it sounds like a gimmick.
I want Rich on the treadmill wearing a virtual reality headset training for MMA. Rich, you can do it.
You laugh, but that's actually a good idea.
Well, I wish him the best of luck, but yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of interesting for a first-person shooter, but I don't know. I mean, of course, I think they're looking into the possibilities of virtual reality right now, because why? I mean, of course you're going to look into it, because virtual reality is a big thing right now. The PlayStation VR is going to be a big deal in the fall. Do I think that it'll translate to UFC? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine what it would look like.
That's a tough one. I just can't see the physical nature of it. Do they actually want you up out of your seat, like as far as these training games go? Are they training you with a controller in your hand? Are they saying, here's a training game for you, actually do a head kick in your living room?
Okay, so I can kind of imagine it working with the HTC Vive. Because you can like kind of do like motion, like actual motion with the HTC Vive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but UFC is a PlayStation game, so you would be playing it on the PlayStation VR, right? Which is a camera-based system, mm-hmm. So it's more static. Don't see it. It's weird. And in terms of VR and sports games, I think that the only like way that VR is really going to be, I could see two sort of compelling applications for it. One is a football game where you're like the quarterback and you're throwing the ball. Like, I think that would be kind of cool to actually have that stupid first person view from NFL 2K. 2K5 or whatever.
I would probably puke, though. You know, it's funny you bring that up, because that's what a lot of NFL teams are doing now, or even college teams or high schools. They're putting their quarterbacks in virtual reality to give them extra reps off the field, because they're so limited in what they can do actually on the field that they're having these guys wear the headsets and go through simulators that way.
It would really change your perspective on, you know, making a read. And then, of course, getting blindsided and getting by like a pass rusher coming after you.
And this could literally happen, because you can't see out the side of those.
Exactly.
So you could have a buddy that just tackles you right in your living room. You wouldn't know.
Yes, exactly. You could literally be blindsided and then like your $700 piece of equipment like gets busted. And that's why you don't let your five-year-old in. into the room.
I would just trip over my dogs probably. And that's then another disaster.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine. apparently, like HTC Vive feels like you should, or it's not, maybe not HTC Vive. Somebody was saying, you like cook food in a kitchen. You have a whole room dedicated to cooking food. So you should have a whole room dedicated to VR. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, boy.
One of those lines that you remember for no reason. There's an episode of Frasier where Niles, his brother, is at their house. And at one point, he's one of his guests is lost, and there's like an intercom. And they say, I don't know where I am. He's like, well, what do you see? And they said a couple of things. He's like, oh, you're in the gift wrapping room. All you need to do is go left and then do this. That reminds me of that. Like, some people are going to have their own VR rooms. Mm. Not most of us, but I can guarantee you, Kat, some people are going to have that kind of a setup.
Oh, for sure. Of course. People who have an extra room and a lot of disposable income will have those rooms.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. I wish I was one of them.
I think it could go well for tennis as well. I mean, but at what point do you ask yourself, why am I playing tennis in VR? Why am I not playing real tennis right now?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you know, to play real tennis, you got to have an actual.
There are people who are like
friend that you can get at the right time. The weather's got to be nice. Like, I totally get if there is a way to experience something you like to do.
Golf.
I totally get that. Oh,
golf
well,
is
yeah.
a natural fit, I think, for this because
the difference. And I think Owens has mentioned this. I'm terrible at golf in the real world, so I don't think going virtual reality completely. Like if I'm relying on the speed of my swing and
it doesn't have to be motion based. You can still use a controller. I just mean in terms of it being a single player, where you can experience kind of the environment that you're in as far as the courses that they built and the everything surrounding it. I think that would be an experience that would be maybe enriching to an extent.
Oh, totally agree. Yeah. It depends on what you're trying to do. Like, are you trying to do something that's almost like an exercise or activity-based thing? VR is one thing. And then there's the other, which is, are you just trying to have fun? And that'll be interesting to see which direction or directions they go, right? Because those are video games. You know, there have been plenty of examples of activity and exercise-based video games. It's going to be a challenge wearing a bucket on your head, of course, doing that too.
Yeah.
You know, and then a lot of people don't want that. They want to be able to, you know, relax and have fun and just sort of, you know, walk a golf course. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. There's nothing out there, virtual reality, that has me the least bit excited now. That could change when, as it gets more mature. But this is the first hardware that has come out in the last probably 10 or 15 years, mainstream-ish hardware for video games that I haven't gone out and gotten as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know, this is just basically the first mention that we've seen of it from EA or any sports game developer. Now, I think it's probably safe to assume that because it's a Sony product that the show's going to have, they're going to integrate virtual reality into the series next in MLB. What the show 17?
Yeah, you got to think they will. I mean, if I were a betting person, I would bet that they will.
They could just do that in a home run derby or something, though. They don't have to extend it to everything.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know that you'd be able to. It all depends upon what you have to do to take using the development tools you've been using. Does some of it automatically just work in a VR environment, or do you have to literally rebuild?
Yeah.
Ballparks and environments and that. I mean, that's the question. If you have to do, if a lot of the stuff you have you can't already use, I can't see how much they'd be able to do.
I look at a feature like they added this year with Showtime, and I'm like, man, you know, that to me looks like something they built with virtual reality in mind eventually for like playing the field and while you're at the plate in a single player type mode where you're just controlling your person, your character, and slowing down time to make amazing plays or to focus in on the ball and hit it. I wonder if that isn't where they'd be going.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're totally right. Wow. The next year's MLB is going to be so PlayStation VR focused. It's going to be a whole PSVR mode.
I doubt it. I mean, I could be wrong.
Rich, I mean,
synergy.
You have to remember.
Hello?
You have to remember when they had 3D, the show patched in 3D. When they had,
I get it.
What's the other gimmick? They had another gimmick. It was PlayStation Move, and they had PlayStation Move functionality in the game. So they're going to use it because it promotes their own product in it.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I mean they're plus it's a differentiator, right? They're the only platform that has baseball, so it's a differentiator from all of the other VRs. It's not a question of do they want to. It's a question of what can they do in a relatively short amount of time
without alienating everybody else.
Well, that's the other thing, right? So if it's all hands on deck for VR, then you can't necessarily do a whole lot else. Or, you know, this being Sony's platform, does Sony, have they invested in giving them new resources, additional resources, separate resources? Like, there's all sorts of stuff we don't know, right? But we do know that, relatively speaking, San Diego Studios is a small group. So if they're going big on VR next year, you would think they would have to get significantly additional resources for all of the stuff, the art assets, the technology, the, you know, just the core integration. There's so much that you have to do to make VR work that we have no idea about, just from a infrastructure standpoint. It'll be fascinating to see what happens. And who knows, maybe that's the thing that spurs me to get VR. I don't know, but it's a definitely a differentiator. It just comes down to what can they physically accomplish? Because, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, I don't know. There's a lot to it.
Yeah. Well, I want to go one more subject in this episode, and it's, have either of you played Rocket League, the basketball mode, other than me?
No.
Okay, you should. This is a free update just came out for Rocket League, which is a fantastic game. It was one of our favorites last year. And now they've added a basketball mode. There was already a hockey mode. And, of course, the base of the game is it comes off of soccer. So there's now a basketball mode. There's a hoop in the arena. And it's probably the – my assessment of it is that it's probably the most difficult way to play. Novices would probably really struggle with it because it relies more on the air game. You got to soar through the air. You got to really time your jumps and your turbos through the air and to knock the ball around. And it also there's a lot of really unpredictable ricochets and deflections because it's not just the walls the ball is bouncing off of, but there's now also a rim. And the underneath of the hoop is a solid for the ball, but your cars drive right through it. So it takes a bit of an adjustment playing, but man, it's fun. It's so different than just like the normal Rocket League is very different from the hockey Rocket League because the hockey, the puck, the physics are so different that you're playing off the walls instead of playing in the air in the hockey one. And in basketball, you're playing the deflections and you're playing the air far more. And so it's a little more difficult, but it's also it relies a little more on luck to score just because of all the deflections. And I probably more of my goals probably come from luck, from just luckily bouncing in on an unintended hit as opposed to squaring up and taking a shot. But yeah, I'd recommend if you have Rocket League or if you don't have it, it's only a $20 game, or on PC it's been on sale for $12. It's amazing support that they've been doing for the game, and now the basketball mode just brings a whole new element to it, and I can't recommend it enough.
I'm so happy that this game has become the platform and phenomenon that it has. It's so good for everything that we love, right? It's good for sports games in general. It is, yeah. It's good for new ideas for other studios that see what's happened here. It's great for taking advantage of new technology. It's just awesome. I'm so happy that they've figured it out. It's so hard to do what they've done and to see what this team has done with this game and with its support and expansion is just inspiring. It's fantastic.
I've made an important realization about Rocket League.
Yes?
I'm really bad at it.
It is. It's tough. I mean, the more you play, the more you get...
Oh, for sure. It's a practice thing.
Yeah, it is. Once you, it's not a complicated game, but it is, especially when you start trying to do aerial maneuvers and stuff. And there's people who are so talented, and I'm not to this level. There are people who drive up the wall, drive up onto the ceiling, and then drop off the ceiling onto the ball. Like,
what the hell? You see people just have this supernatural ability to bank it off a wall and right over the defender and into the goal. It's just like, how did you do that? And can I have your superpower?
Well, I wonder if you would like the basketball then, Kat, because it is, like I said, there's a lot of luck involved in it. Like the best strategy that I found was simply getting a hit on the ball and hoping that it ends up in the hoop because it will deflect off the walls, off the ceiling, off the rim. There's been a few times where I've just been rejected by the rim. I thought I was about to score, and that was really disheartening. but it's pretty fun, and the scoring is about equal to what you normally get in the regular games. But like there's a tip-off at the start as opposed to the ball being stationary on the ground like you're used to. It throws the ball up in the air, so the tip-off, actually, you have to start by soaring through the air to get the first hit on it, and that's a way that I've scored a number of goals. But, yeah, I spent the first evening, I was going to play just enough to get some videos for that first evening, and I ended up playing like 4 or 5 hours. That was just really grabbed me again, and it's fascinating to me how that they continue to put out new content that's, you know, it's not a cash grab, it's free, and it's really quality stuff. And so I feel like it's potentially in the running for sports game of the year again, for a second year.
Again?
Well, it's a new game. I mean, it basketball is practically
that's
different.
That's true. And, you know, it's true. It's like multiple games in one.
Right.
That's so cool. What a great game. Well, Rocket League was my sports game of the year last year. And despite the fact that I'm terrible at it, I have all the respect in the world
for that
game.
That's the signature of a great game. If you're not great at it, if you lose playing it, but you still have fun, that's how you know it's a great game. That's always been kind of the litmus test for me.
Well, the other thing to me that's been so cool to see is there's people that do not play or like sports games that love Rocket League. It has such a wide appeal. And that's, again, when you know you got something special when you've got people who wouldn't touch a sports game in the traditional sense, you've really done something right.
Yeah, so I recommend it to everyone out there. There are millions of people playing it. It's still getting I think they broke their concurrent user record for online people just recently. So it's still an incredibly popular game, and it's been out 10 months, and they just continue pouring resources into it, and it's awesome to see. So I think that'll do it for this episode, though. So thank you, Rich Grisham, Out of the Park Developments, Kat Bailey from US Gamer. I really appreciate you taking the time to come out and join me for this episode of the Hit the Pass Press Roll Podcast. For Brian Weedye from Pasta Padre, Hit the Pass, and Sporting News, take care till next time.